Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, that there's Rex Hupke, and we were just singing the Hawaii Five-0 theme song for reasons that are not clear. But I gotta say, we're so in sync, Rex, that you got like three notes out, and I was like, what is that? That's Hawaii Five-0.
Surfing vibe, big time here.
That's what we're doing. Because I walked into the studio today, and I was like, I'm gonna barf, I think I got an ulcer. And I wasn't kidding. Because there's so much. We say this every week, and yet we continue to be surprised. Like, every week, like, oh, shit. Oh, yeah, that was only 2 days ago. That feels like a month ago. Oh, shit. But here we are.
Yeah,
again.
I mean, that's what, just moments ago, we were talking about
we're
going to talk
about. Adding
up
all the stuff, and we're like, what about it? Oh, and this. Oh, yeah, that.
Well, no, we forgot about Comey. Like, the FBI.
I don't know that we forgot about him as much as we were like, oh, that seems like a month ago already. But that was.
That was Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
It is Wednesday that we are recording.
Yeah, and that was a historic moment. I mean, the FBI director acknowledged an ongoing investigation into Trump's campaign and Russian. I mean, come on. I mean,
that's a big one.
And I had legitimately, we were sitting here like, what else?
I've already moved on from
right,
that and jumped onto like Huckabee's tweets and Manafort and Ivanka's struggle.
Yes, the struggle continues.
So we'll talk about all those things is what we'll do.
Be delightful.
So yeah, Comey. You know what I'm excited for? If I had a time machine, I would just like fast forward 50 years and just go pick up a history book and be like, yo, what does it look like when I look up 2016, 2017 and maybe 18?
It may just be like one page, large font, LOL.
Right.
Just keep moving.
LOL, WTF.
Yeah, right. Turn page.
Right. It's just, no, because by 50 years in the future, like, I feel like a history book would, like, have a GIF in it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
So it'll just be someone, like, holding their ears going, la, 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 la. Like, that's all that's happening this year.
Somebody, this is I can't do this justice, but I'm going to try anyway. Somebody I think if a tweet could win a Pulitzer, this should. Somebody sent a tweet that said, this GIF pretty well sums up every Trump voter. And it was a GIF of a guy with a Roman candle stuck in his crotch. With his shirt kind of hiked halfway up, and he's sitting there, and he's looking all cool, and he lights it and stuff, and he's kind of like doing a little hip thrust and stuff, and then it bumps up and starts shooting him in the face, and he starts running all over and rolling on the ground. I was like, "That's it, just perfect." It's like, "Woo, we won!"
Wait!
Yes. Oh no!
Oh my god!
This is not what I expected.
Well, yeah. So Comey, that's a whole thing. We haven't heard from him much since the election, really. That name hasn't been on the biggie headlines. But nonetheless, there he was and acknowledged. Yeah. And in fact, acknowledged. I think the way he said it was like, we don't normally acknowledge these things. But due to the stakes, we are going to admit, yes, that in fact is a real thing.
Yeah.
There is an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, it was pretty stunning. And of
that's
course.
That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, that is not something that happens, generally speaking. And, of course, under what you would like to believe would be normal circumstances, people would be universally shocked. And
losing their shit.
Right. But instead, immediately, especially a couple of the Republicans on that Congressional Intelligence Committee began going after, A, the leakers, and B, the journalists who publish information from the leakers. And I will say that, yes, we should not have people leaking classified information. But I don't think that's exactly the number one issue when you have just been told that the campaign of the current president is being investigated for contact with a foreign country that is an adversary of ours.
Right. I feel like there's a lot of like, my brain is dead right now, but I'm trying to think of some kind of a metaphor here of like, oh, my God, the house is on fire. Oh, turn off the stove.
Right.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just exit the burning structure.
Yeah.
Or put it out.
Yeah. I was really shocked. I mean, think about, I think about like Ronald Reagan and hating Russia was kind of a Republican thing forever. And to see them bending over backwards to act like this is not something that we should be concerned about. And you know what? Maybe there's nothing to it all. I don't think anybody's saying, oh my God, they've done horrible things. Absolutely. I mean, everybody's saying there's a blinding amount of smoke now. We need to look at it and investigate it and see if there's fire. But to sort of do like this switcheroo, it's just so transparently partisan. And, you know, and this is the guy who was, you had some people like Trey Gowdy and people mm-hmm. Who were leaking like crazy when you were doing the Benghazi hearings. And now they're like, well, leaks, oh, yeah, heavens, yeah. You know, like, and it's really just, I know everybody's partisan. I know everybody's got, you know, their sure. thing they're working. But it's kind of getting a little, it's getting to the point where you're going to start having to separate your love of this country from your devotion to your party or, yeah. or even your ideology or whatever. Sure. And I'm not seeing a lot of that happen yet. You see a little bit of it from a few people, but it's going to have to happen.
It's going to have to happen, but I don't think it will as long as there's any kind of Make America Great Again kind of thing happening. I mean, there was a clip talking about Colin Kaepernick. Trump was at an event just this past week, and there's a woman behind him that's holding a sign that says Make America Proud Again, and at one point she's like waving the sign up above her head like she's looking at the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. She's right. so excited and devoted, and she wants his attention so much. She's like waving the sign because he turns around and he's looking and all this, and I think that messaging is the opposite of getting people to separate from ideology or party and just saying, look, this country's getting a little fucked up right now. We need to just step away from all that stuff and just focus on figuring this out and honoring the law and sticking with the law, because as long as there's a Make America, it's the word again that is inherently racist and sexist and old-fashioned and asking for a bell to be unrung mm-hmm. to a golden era of white male supremacy that I'm just not fucking on board with.
Nor is any
rational human being.
Right, sizable majority right. or any big, we've talked about this before, any yeah. big corporations. I mean, all these, they're not sliding backward to whatever this supposedly ideal used to be is. I mean, you know, just like this whole image of making America great again. It's like, what are you referring to there?
What are you referring to? You're referring to like slavery or Jim Crow, or like, what are you talking about?
Well, and they're also talking about a time that didn't really even exist. I mean, they're talking about something that where it's a perceived great.
A perceived single narrative. There's right. never one story. And that's the problem when you tell history through only the white men in power. And that's why it matters that we have a variety of people telling stories and writing op-eds and on TV and doing all those things, because that's, you know, I mean, when newspapers have on the masthead the first draft of history, that's for real.
Right.
That is for real. And so that's why it matters that we have diversity in our storytelling, because if only the white men in power are telling the story, well, it's going to be a little bit skewed.
And frankly, even for the white men, or for really for anybody, it's not like these times that are built up as having been so fantastic.
Right.
It's the same. I mean, everybody was still dealing with the same crap, and even more so probably. Like, first of all, you had, you know, it's like that belief that, well, nobody used to be gay, and nobody used
right.
to, you know, there were no people who were transgender.
No one was trans,
it's like,
right.
come on, what are you talking about? And then nobody ever got divorced, or right. everybody loved each other. And
sure.
It's crap. I mean, it's right. a nonsensical thing on its face, but it's also, like you said, and I completely agree, it's just a sort of a white spin on, yeah. you know, when white people were just completely in power and there was no question. So that's crap.
And that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah, and the Colin Kaepernick stuff, I mean, you know, he tried to basically take credit for him not
he
getting
He takes credit for fucking everything.
But I thought one of my favorite exchanges, and this involves someone we both know on Twitter, was, first, Trump at a rally basically took credit for Colin Kaepernick mm-hmm. not being with a new team yet,
yeah,
which is nonsense. And then Kaepernick donated $50,000 to Meals on Wheels mm-hmm. shortly after the whole budget, you know, stuff came out. And then Sarah Palin, who we haven't heard from for a while,
oh, how you been, girl?
Yeah, put up a nice post that was all caps. Seriously, Colin Kaepernick just pulled another political stunt. about his $50,000 donation.
How dare
to
you feed hungry people?
Yeah. And then our pal, Oh No She Twint on Twitter responded, your entire career is a political stunt, which I thought was fantastic.
That woman is funny.
She's very funny.
She's real funny.
That's Oh No She Twint, TWITNT.
Yeah. I enjoy following her. She's quite funny.
Yeah. Anyway, but I thought that was an interesting. Good to see Sarah Palin. Every once in a while, Sarah Palin's kind of just like a, you know, she just sort of pops her head up every once in a while now. That's all you really hear about her. It's always amusing when she does.
Yeah, she just sort of pops in once in a while. Hey, don't forget about me. I'm here doing a thing.
I'm going to say something stupid.
I can shoot a wolf from a helicopter, whatever the hell it was she was doing. I again am worried about our pain threshold because, like, back to Comey for a minute, if something like that would have occurred in any other prior administration, people would be losing their minds over it. But I think that our pain threshold has just gotten higher because every day it's some new nonsense. And every day we read the headlines and go, holy shit, I cannot believe that's happening. And then just like we open the show by saying, 2 days later, you're like, oh, God, that just happened 2 days ago. I thought that was a month ago. Shit, it's just flying by so quickly. I mean, I looked at the calendar. So I'm still feeling like we just started the new year. Like, in my mind, it's still January.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, it is almost April.
Right. Yeah, it's shocking.
We're almost into the second quarter of the year. What the actual fuck? Oh, yeah. And here we are. So I'm worried about the pain threshold again, as I was right after the Women's March, where, like, we're just getting used to stuff and getting used to stuff. And after the executive order and everybody went to the airports, I'm like, but we got to do something with that. We have to, you know, move forward with that. I'm heartened because I hosted an event this week through Association for Women Journalists, of which I am the president of the Chicago chapter. And we had author Rebecca Sive come and talk about her book, Every Day is Election Day. And she's all about getting more women to run for office. And I was so, my heart was going to beat out of my chest because I was looking around the room and I saw women from every race and all different business sectors and stages of life. And I was so excited and heartened by that, of just so many women, none of them knew each other. And it was all just like, I mean, tons of women just went by themselves. And I think that's the ultimate testament. Like, if you will go to something by yourself, you mean it.
Yeah. That's
and good. And I was really heartened talking to people after. But that was a theme that came up again and again of like, I just don't want it to end with the Women's March and I haven't seen anyone do anything. So good. I'm just going to do something. I don't know. I figured it wouldn't hurt to come and listen. So some good conversations happened, but I worry about that again, that not that I want us to be more outraged, because I think outrage is useless and not productive, but the stakes keep getting, not the stakes keep getting higher, the shit keeps getting crazier.
Yeah, deeper.
Deeper, yeah. And it's just coming at us so fast. I think it's like wearing us all out again, and I'm just worried about that all over again.
Yeah, no, it's, and again, it's intentional,
I
believe. Absolutely.
I do too. Yeah.
I mean, part of it is due to incompetence. There is just staggering incompetence at this juncture. Well, not at this.
If you could be arrested for aggravated dipshittery and incompetence, them charges would have been filed.
I mean, look at the one of the key things in the Comey hearing was the wiretapping issue.
Which is interesting because the way that fell, it's like it's not exactly like we think, but nonetheless, like either way, there's guilt involved the way he's laying it out.
Yeah, right. And it's that all stemmed from a tweet based on nothing. I mean, it was literally just a tweet about their wire, you know, he wiretapped. It's just a baseless assertion with no evidence.
Yeah.
And then you have the director of the FBI and the director of the National Security Agency testifying before Congress saying there is absolutely no truth to this. And that was, I thought that was astonishing. And we talked about this also before the show, my personal favorite part of that whole thing was...
That great line.
They say, I have no information that supports those tweets. That's what Comey said. I have no information that
supports... That's the best
That could be universally applied to everything that comes out of Trump's mouth. I mean, I have no information to support. So, but then Trump, through via the official POTUS Twitter account, tweeted a clip, an edited clip from the hearing while the hearing was still going on. That said something which was not what it was actually saying.
Right. The war was in real time.
Right. And then a smart Democrat on the committee asked Comey, Right then, is this correct? And he basically said, no, that's not what we meant to say at all. So in real time, they had already called bullshit on the tweets that started the whole wiretapping nonsense. And then in real time, they're calling BS on the tweet that he said an hour ago. I mean, it's just, so this is what, again, and even, so even that gums up the works. I mean, you know, so even mid-hearing, like mid-news breaking, there's more stuff being thrown out, and that is just, it's wreaking havoc. And so that is not only making it hard, first of all, for the news to be disseminated, because there's so much of it. There's only so much news people can absorb or have time to read. But also, it is just clobbering people over the head.
Right.
And constantly, and that's where you get, I think, like we were saying, the wear down that's possible.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. We get, it takes so long to just keep it straight of going, wait, these tweets are, wait, what? And you have to sit there and kind of parse through, oh my God, they're having a Twitter war as he's testifying. Oh my God, what's happening? And by the time you parse through that, you've taken your eye off that story and you have to get back to it. It's like this competing for attention kind of bizarre, forced. It's weird. It's the weird. I've never seen anything like this ever playing out
on
the media stage, in a political stage, on any stage.
Well, and one of the issues too here that is problematic is that we're dealing with very complicated stuff.
Right.
Stuff that
you'd need explainers for anyway.
Right. Exactly. It's the kind of thing that the only people, when you get into, you know, surveillance and the intelligence community, it's the sort of thing that only the people who cover and have covered this for years can really easily understand, at least off the top of their heads.
And speak to all the nuances of it, because the rest of it is just, you know, you just sound like a, you know, like a crackpot conspiracy theorist if you try without understanding all of those nuances.
Right. And so right before the show, just like an hour or so ago before we recorded, the Devin Nunes, who was on the House Intel Committee that talked to Comey on Monday, held a press conference that apparently blindsided everybody. And said that he has seen evidence that the Trump campaign post-election, the transition team and everything was picked up in surveillance. Some of their communication was picked up in surveillance. He said there was nothing illegal about it. This is during his press conference just a bit ago, and he said that it was it's called incidental collection, but. The point of this, and that, you know, so he didn't go into any great detail, and he says, well, I'm going to talk to the White House about this and blah, blah, blah. So this is lobbing a great big sort of news grenade out there.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem, and what most people, as soon as they see that, are going to think, what I thought when I first saw the first tweet about it was, oh, wait a minute, okay, they've got something about, that's connected to the wiretapping claim. Well, digging a little bit for about 5 minutes, and I was able to sort it out and see, no, actually what he's saying is that this was incidental collection, which incidental collection means that somebody who is being surveilled is talking to somebody else who's, you know, not being surveilled, but that somebody else gets sucked into it because they're talking. So what that means, again, is people on the Trump campaign were talking to either foreign agents or criminals who were being surveilled legally.
And if you incriminate yourself during incidental surveillance, it's like if the cops come to your door for a noise complaint and you got a bong on the table, you can get busted for that.
Exactly.
It's like it's sitting there.
You
can totally incriminate yourself.
But this will be spun, and already was almost instantly being spun they were wiretapping me. I was right. See, the truth is coming out. It's absolutely.
No.
It's not only different, but it's actually really bad for the Trump people, because this is further evidence that they were in touch with people who at least were dodgy enough to have been surveilled by our intelligence community. And there's also questions as far as what Nunes is telling us about whether he's leaking classified information, which is what we just got done hearing from them.
I just said to you.
Yes, exactly. Remember Monday when I told you that we must stop all leaked information because it's un-American and everybody must be thrown in jail? I've softened my stance on that slightly.
Right.
Here's some classified.
April Fools about that.
And that's the thing, though. But like, what do you do? This is not the kind of stuff that people who are not part of the intelligence community can easily just digest and sort through. And so it all gets
munked
together.
You just make shit up, Puppy.
I prefer words more just from the
words
how they
are mere
sound.
Suggestions
the
to
sounds
you.
That I form to describe things.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
So that's that's a hot mess, and I would urge everyone to give yourself time to read things fully and contemplate the full, like, read a thing and then go, what is this piece saying? Don't zero in on like this one fucking word and tweet the shit out of that. Like, put the whole thing in context. Like, what am I taking away from this piece of literature that I just read?
Right.
Read the whole thing.
If you can, give yourself a day to let the news kind of settle and figure out, you know, and read different takes on that and different things from people who actually know what they're talking about. Because it is, it's very confusing, and it is not the sort of thing that
I haven't been covering the intelligence community, so I mean, this is, and I feel like I have daily politics sort of reads, and I feel like I'm on top of that kind of thing, but nonetheless I've had to sit there and do research on, okay, exactly what does that role do,
right?
Tell me, okay, what are the functions of this role and how out of step was that person to do this? And I mean, it takes a good hour to get through a story that's mm-hmm. relatively digestible, just because there's lots of things. I mean, I sit there with like a reporter notebook and just going like, okay, search this as things come up in a story, because I want to make sure that I have it right as I'm talking about it and thinking about it, taking it in and putting it in context for everything else.
And that cuts both ways too. There was something Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, said in an interview.
The other Rex.
Yes, the other Rex, the lesser
Rex.
The lesser known Rex. He said that he never wanted the job.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
I saw that.
His wife told him to suck it up and do it, or something right. like that. And I'm not quoting it directly, but people flipped out and, mm-hmm. and started running with that. But I was, when you actually look at the context of what he said, I mean, it was
let that go.
Yeah, it wasn't that's not damning. There's nothing, and it was just kind of an off the cuff sort of. And he's almost joking. You can tell he's sort of joking around a little, and whatever. I mean, you can get upset about it if you want, but it was a silly thing. But people, a lot of people on the left just went nutso over that. Yeah. Oh my God, how can he didn't even want the job? Well, why didn't you give it to somebody else? And maybe, I'm like, okay, it's calm down.
You know,
like,
Pope Francis said the same thing.
Right. Yes.
We exactly. moved on.
Yes. He's a good guy. So there you go.
As far as popes go, like, I think he's pretty all right as far as popes go.
Another person Donald Trump has fought with. So
yeah. yeah. Like that alone. So switching gears to this week in anti-Semitism.
Ooh.
It was yet louder this week. It's always like a little bit louder each time. So remember on a previous show, I was talking about how I was wearing a Star of David necklace just because I was like, I want to know if you're a raging anti-Semite. I would like you to reveal yourself to me so I know who to stay away from you. Royal you, not you, Rex. I already know where you stand on anti-Semitism quite well. But like it's occurred to me, like, you know, I've had a couple of weird interactions. I might not want to do that. I might want to just like let that be for a minute. Because mm-hmm. a couple of things were a little much. And then like on Twitter, it's been very disgusting. Very, very disgusting. So I've taken to sending people tweets when I see it. I'll say something like, I'll call them like, it's essentially like comrade, but it's like brother or sister from this war, from the weapons, it's like brother in arms. It's kind of that. But I've been like taken to saying things to people in Hebrew on Twitter because I'm like, that's my new way of like, I want to stand out in front of it. Like,
yeah, right.
Come at me, bro. That's my new come at me, bros. I'm just going to say things in Hebrew on Twitter. But a couple of phrases that I learned this week, synagogue of Satan.
Ooh,
that's a good one, right?
Yeah, that sounds like a good death metal band.
That's exactly the joke that was made in response to that.
Really?
And there was like a long thread. It was the Twitter user we were discussing earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Someone said that to her and she had shared it to, in the approach of like, let's just throw this to the court of public opinion.
Right.
And I went through this thread and it was just disgusting and crazy. This person just trolls people to say awful Jewy things, which leads me to the delightful man. I don't have his number yet. Give me time. Who was shouting Jew-SA at an event this week. And some video surfaced of that.
Oh, really?
That was really nice. Well, he looks like a lunatic because he's in a crowd and he just starts chanting.
Uh-huh.
And if you're the one starting a chant, I feel like you need an an agreement with a couple of people near you. They're like, hey, I'm going to start this chant, but I need you to pipe in. And no one does.
Don't leave me hanging.
Right. Don't leave me hanging. So, you know, he's saying some very other derogatory things. He says some like anti-gay slurs and all this, but he starts this Jew-S-A chant. And it was so gross. And I start digging for all this, and I'm writing something about anti-Semitism right now. And I ended up searching the term Jew-S-A on Twitter about 7 times that day. And I was, no wonder I have an ulcer. I was just like, God, it's so horrible. And the things, I'm very tired of and disgusted by being addressed as a globalist Jew.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting and stupid. And also, if you truly believe that my people and I control all of the money and all of the media, I invite you to look at my paycheck and my bank account, because clearly I fucked that up somewhere, because I am not making vast riches. I have, in fact, very little pull here at WGN Radio.
Your globalist ties are not solid, I'm afraid.
Right. There may be like one dude in Bulgaria that's tweeted about me, and that's about as global as I get, because I ain't shit. So I'm just going to, not that anybody who would tweet such a thing is listening to this show, but like, dial it down. I mean, really?
Jew-S-A.
Mm. Yeah, isn't that a good one? That's a good one.
Fantastic.
Like, jeez. And even the like, there was a dude who I threw that, like I kind of went down a rabbit hole. There was a dude who legitimately was talking about how Jews are affiliated with the Dark Lord and that we have horns. I haven't heard that one since like first grade.
Yeah, you told me about that. I'd never even heard that before. We were talking one day and you mentioned the horns thing.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Oh, yeah, that one. And the K word is back.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Again, haven't heard that one in decades, but I like heard that one like boom, right up in the tweet. I was like, oh, that's back.
Making America great again.
Yeah, how's that working out?
You know, I had a weird thought. I don't know why.
You can tell I was getting pissed because my voice was just like up an octave. Anyway,
it's the ulcer talking.
Speaking of that, I'm gonna open my like club soda here because if you hear like a thing open, okay.
Oh, dang.
It's not a beer can or anything. It's just a club soda. Because it soothes the ulcer.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Exactly. I was walking to the car this morning. I don't know why this thought popped into my head.
I can't wait to see what about Jew-S-A triggered this
exactly.
Story.
Segue. And no, I was thinking about, I think I, maybe because I had earlier, I had just been reading or looking at something that had pictures of Steve Bannon in it. And the whole idea of the master race, sort of the white people being the master race. And I started thinking, okay, if the white people are the master race, how come such a small number of white people actually believe that and think that white people are the master race? Because then the only explanation for why the others don't believe that is because they have been influenced by, you know, the other people, the non-white people, or made to feel guilty about their own race by the other white people. Which, what kind of a master race would allow that to happen in their own head? So I think I debunked. I debunked the whole idea.
Finally, we have a little gotcha journalism happening on the show.
Rex Upke,
in your face,
investigative, investigative walker to car thinker. This has been deep thoughts. No, but seriously, like I thought that was kind of. I was like, that's a pretty good argument, really, because okay, you crazy Nazi dude on Twitter are in an extreme minority of people, right? You're claiming that white people are the master race. I'm a white person. Why do I not think that too? You're going to say, well, because you feel guilty. You're, you know, like, you know, the Jews and the blacks and the women folk or whatever have, you know, twisted your mind. But then I'm like, well, okay,
feminism has perverted you.
Right. Hold on. If I'm the master race, then why was my mind so easily twisted by all of these so-called bad people? So
that'd be an inferior brain is what.
Anyway, and just with that, white supremacism disappeared in a poof of logic.
Good job. I'll update your Wikipedia accordingly.
Thank you. Rex.
And single-handedly completely smashed white supremacy on the way to his car.
Next subject, please.
National hero, Rex Hupke. But speaking of Bannon, there is a story in The New Yorker this week that is fascinating and great. And it is all about, the headline on it is The Problem with Steve Bannon's Story About His Father. It is really good. It is worth the read. Essentially, he's kind of woven this narrative around his father's story, and it falls apart very quickly with the actual facts of his life.
Right.
About like an investment that went south and how it just wouldn't, none of it added up.
It sort of paints.
I find delightful.
I haven't read the piece, but I've read about it, and if my understanding is that he's used that tale of his father almost as an explanation for his own sort of populism or economic nationalism.
Yes.
But then, and I forget how it falls apart, but it was basically, it's a crock of crap, and he's just a jerk.
Again, there you go. Dismantling white supremacy.
Okay.
Good job.
Done it again.
Yeah. It's an interesting, find this story. It's really interesting. I recommend reading it. I mean, there's the art on the story has this kind of like, it looks like an Olin Mills picture of Bannon kind of looking down wistfully like he's a catalog model, which if you can get past that, it's worth reading. So there's that. Let's talk about Ivanka. Let's talk about her. Because while I'm normally really on board with any woman furthering women's causes, I really need her to shut it down for a minute about getting a seat at the table. Because there's no struggle that is real for you, Ivanka Trump.
Yeah. And she is now...
Security clearance, yeah, and has moved into an office in the White House.
Right. Which they said was not going to happen. Worth noting. He even tweeted specifically, I am not trying to get my children, you know, top.
He said plural. That's just the one.
Yeah. See? Totally honest. Fake news.
Right.
Yeah. And I just, I mean, this is baffling on a variety
many
of different levels.
Yeah.
I mean, the seat at the table thing, absolutely, because that one has to, and again, not taking anything away from her, but I would certainly say, what qualifications do you have besides being the president's daughter who he trusts? What qualifications do you have to be a person in the White House?
Some kind of White House advisor.
With top security.
Because you ran a business. I've run a business. I've run three or four businesses. And you don't see me moving into the White House or feeling like I'm qualified to do so.
Right. And I think that's problematic on a lot of fronts. And I saw a couple of different tweets from women who have worked in government basically saying, I've worked my entire life, you know, and that's kind of the goal. Like, that's what you aspire to, is to get up into, you know, that kind of realm.
That visible of a role.
Right. And so to see it just kind of handed to her is a real slap in the face. And,
oh, yeah.
And again, it doesn't, I'm not saying that Ivanka's a bad person. I'm not saying anything about that. Nothing about her character.
And in fact,
or anything.
Before he started to run, I think the line on her was that she was a fairly savvy businesswoman.
Yeah.
But like, let's be clear, she was in the hospitality and retail business.
Right.
Not a political one.
Yeah.
She had like shoes and clothing and then worked in the, like, managing the hotels.
Yeah. Same with her husband, Jared Kushner. Right. There is absolutely nothing to qualify them to be doing what they are presently doing. Nothing.
I mean, there's nothing that qualifies the president to be doing what he's presently doing.
True. Right. But there have been presidents before who have had limited, not as limited as
not
this,
as but, limited, but yeah.
So, but them, but they're, I mean, but the people that you surround yourself with, the advisors, they should be at the very least be the smart and knowledgeable ones, and people who really have a strong understanding of foreign policy and domestic issues, and this, they don't have that. It's ridiculous, and it's again, and it's not. And I don't say that to insult them. I say that would be like, you know, let's have Rex be an advisor on, you know, Middle East affairs or something. I don't know.
You have Google. You can do it.
Right.
It's fine.
But, I mean, it's just preposterous. And so now, why does the president's daughter need access to top secret information?
She does not.
That's, and it's ridiculous. And again, and I do hate this, but I can't stop. And I don't know if we can ever stop this cycle. But you say, you look at it and say, look, what if this was Hillary Clinton and she was saying she was going to give Chelsea top secret?
Oh, my God.
Come
People
on,
lost
man.
Their
People,
minds.
Everybody would be freaking out, like absolutely going bananas. And again, I mean, frankly, I would be saying the same thing. I would say, why does she need that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense unless, you know, she has a specialized knowledge that we're not aware of and that's being utilized somehow. But
maybe
just,
mention that and get some public buy-in.
Right. But no, they're just doing it. And I don't care that she's not. And they're like, well, she's not taking any money. I'm like, I don't care.
I don't care.
Right. And that has nothing to do with it. It's not a matter that I'm annoyed that she's getting.
That doesn't, to me, that does not like flatten out her ethics and make her less susceptible to making a terrible decision. She's got money.
Right.
What the fuck? She's not taking money. That doesn't matter.
And it also gives her father a easy way of sort of, you know, pushing off any criticisms about not enough women in powerful roles, which there aren't in his cabinet at right. all. And when it comes to women's issues, again, she's a, I don't want to say she's a prop, but she kind of is a prop.
She's totally a prop.
Okay. I feel better having you say
no,
that.
No, I think she's a prop.
And
that, and she's complicit in her own propness.
Right, yeah.
Is what I think about that.
Yeah, exactly. She's allowing it to happen.
I felt bad for her for a minute at the mm-hmm. beginning of his campaign, because I was like, you know what? My dad and I don't really agree on a lot of stuff politically. If my dad was running for president, I'd be like, shit, this is going to get weird. But then as she started to, you know, stump for him, then I was like, nah, we're done here.
Right.
I don't feel sorry for you. You're playing along.
She describes a man that doesn't exist when she talks about him.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
And I just think, it's so much. I just don't, she's just not qualified. And if she is, she should have, you know, that should have come up, because there's no way that she's somehow more politically qualified than her own father, who has the highest office in the country. There's no, I mean,
I saw your ulcer flare. As
I know,
you were
I had
saying.
To pause and like, oh, chest pain. Hold up. Like I'm having a grabber right now on the air is what's happening. But yeah. No, I think she is complicit in her own nonsense here and in her own propness.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember when Gwyneth Paltrow was like, I'm going to live on food stamps for a week and raise awareness of how hard it is. The struggle is real. And she bought like $12 of fucking limes and like bok choy and dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
And was like, it's not nutritive enough. I couldn't live on that. No shit, Gwyneth, because you bought a bunch of limes, you dumbass. What are you doing? It's that. Like she's guilty. She's like tone deaf to her own terminal wealth and terminal privilege and cannot see. So like, again, while I am glad for any woman pushing forward in any role, because it does, I do believe, sort of help everybody. In this case, I don't think that, because it's a big fuck you to the women who've worked very hard in politics. Very hard. Who mm-hmm. it? Death by a thousand cuts is real, and you do get judged by different standards than men do to enter a political role, even a very entry level political point. Just the stakes are different for men and women of what looks professional, what sounds professional, what's expected, what leadership is supposed to look like. If a man and a woman act identically, she's going to be categorized as this icy bitch. And he's going to be a go-getter. And that is just a familiar trope that we all know.
It would be very interesting to see if we could switch reality up a little bit to see.
Why not? It's cuckoo bananas as it is.
To see the response to Ivanka Trump if she were a Democrat running for some kind of office, say.
Hmm.
And how the Republicans would react to her and accept her and that sort of thing. It'd be very interesting.
Well, there's that.
I did. I'm going to do a workplace column on the Ivanka subject, and I'll share with our listeners an email that I shared with you. I sort of queried people.
All three of them?
Yeah.
Six, that's nice.
Yes. Thank you, folks. Cozy in here. No, I sent out a thing on asking for working women to kind of, if they would be willing to talk to me a little bit about this and that sort of thing. And I got one response that said, if you're interested in the perspective of a woman who drives a semi-tractor trailer to pay for her kids' college and would happily drive over Ivanka's privileged skinny ass, I'm your gal.
Jesus Christ. I want to meet that lady.
I know.
I mean, there's a lot of layers to what she just said.
Yes, there are.
But
it was very, it was a short and to the point, but solid.
Yeah. I struggle with, there's no real other way to say it, but I do struggle with the term working women, because we would never say working
women.
Yeah,
I know. I thought that when I don't think I used that in the tweet that I sent. I know I just said it now, but I thought about that. Well, then there also is,
because for men, it is assumed that you are working, you are pulling in as high an income as possible, that you are not the primary caretaker of your children.
I think so. But I would say that if I was, I mean, if I was trying to be,
I know what you were doing. I'm
no,
not,
no, I know yeah. You're not calling me into question. I just am saying that, but if you're trying to be specific about what you're looking for, if I had been sending out a similar query about men, I would have also said, you know, like men who are employed or men in the workplace or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. So, I know you would have.
Okay.
But I just, I think there's a shorthand there with a lot of baggage on it.
Yeah, I know. I think that it's, and then you get to kind of the point of like, okay, what, I mean, yeah, you get into a sort of how much language matters, which it does. And
right.
I'm not saying it doesn't. I also, but then you also.
And there's shifts. There's a lot of shifts, right? There's the mm-hmm. beauty shift
yeah.
that is very real. And, you know, I think the usual conversation is like, oh, women take forever to get ready. But look, there's like an expectation of looking a certain, you know, like looking put together. And if you don't, if you choose to ignore it, there's a cost to that.
Mm-hmm.
If
yeah.
you show up to work without wearing makeup and your hair in a ponytail, people are going to say that woman doesn't, you know, she doesn't take pride in her appearance.
Right.
She must not care about this job. Like there's a cost to doing that.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's like all these, all these shifts, and there's all these other things, and even in like self-described egalitarian households, women still carry the brunt of domestic responsibilities largely. And yeah, I mean that's real. That's very, very real. And so it's complicated. There's mm-hmm. it's just that's a whole other show. But like in summation, shit is complicated.
Yeah, I'll mansplain that some other show.
Please do. Sidebar, did you see the story this past week about the woke misogynist?
No.
It is interesting. It is like naming a certain group of men who can speak the language, can like speak activist really well.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, like the writer is talking about like how, you know, a guy will really identify as a feminist and speak activist and say the shorthand, you know, use the language to convey that he's on board in a certain way with feminism and intersectionality, but in fact will still be like a date rapist or a woman beater or something like this.
Yikes.
This phenomenon of a woke misogynist. And when that story came up, I saw, oh my God, the comments on it. That story was unbelievable of women sharing like, oh yeah, this happened. I mean, even in the story, there's an example of this guy who like talks all about feminism and intersectionality and then is willing to like shove his girlfriend
right.
over an argument. I think there's been a struggle to name that group for a little bit, but it's a thing.
I would argue that that's not really woke. That's just.
But it's like a tongue-in-cheek woke.
Yeah, I know. But that's sort of, I mean, it's still a misogynist, you know.
Oh, you're still a raging misogynist,
right,
dude.
I know.
But
yeah.
But it's like it's a way to name that.
It's more like misogynist and a sneaky asshole kind of combined.
Basically. It's like a wolf in sheep's clothing
yeah.
kind of thing
yeah.
is what it is.
Hmm. Interesting.
Oh my God, there's still so much to talk about. Huckabee's tweets.
Oh yeah, yay! Hold on, I got to pull some of those up real quick because
well,
those are
okay.
It's like,
first of all, he was messing with Foghorn Leghorn in one of them, and I was like, yo. You do not mess with Foghorn Leghorn. That he's my guy.
Don't bring him. Don't you bring him into this?
Don't you go there. But then it was like, wait, whose side are you on right now? I mean, he was kind of all over the map.
Is it?
And there was one where he said sausage like three or four times in one tweet, and I was like, what are you doing?
This is my.
Are you on glue?
My favorite. Are you on glue? This is my favorite. Yeah, he goes breaking news! Exclamation point. Jimmy Dean Sausage Company will be renamed
yes.
Gorsuch Sausage, all caps, because he's grinding up some Democrat senators into, all caps, pure pork sausage. And the entire internet was like, what?
What?
I mean, you could do, I joked about creating an entire podcast devoted to what the hell is going on with Mike Huckabee, because he's
something is happening.
He has lost his mind. He said he had something about Snoop Dogg, too, that was...
Oh, yeah, I saw that one,
just
too.
The craziest Poop Dog has nephew named Bow Wow, both bad dogs who advocate murder and sex slavery for POTUS and First Lady. Who let the dogs out? I'm like, what are you
Huckabee, I need you to focus. What is the thing you're supposed to do, like, to check if someone's having a stroke? We need to
right,
do that
yeah,
for him, because
yeah,
something is happening
yeah,
with Huckabee right now.
Or, yes, exactly. Or, yeah.
Look at his pupils, somebody.
It's just fantastic. But it's also, it's one of those things, it's like... It's so bad, it's almost like an art form.
I know.
It's just, there's a brilliance to the absolute.
The Snoop and Bow Wow one was especially crazy because it was like, if a year ago you asked me if I thought Huckabee was ever going to mention Snoop or Bow Wow, I'm like, what? Yeah. What?
He is like the guy, the older guy who thinks he's hysterical.
Yeah.
Makes everybody cringe when he's around. It's just astonishing.
Yeah. Speaking of Gorsuch, though, did you read the story about the
Gorsuch sausage? You mean?
Oh God. Yeah, and then he says like the Democrats are gonna be pork sausage. Like what? Why make it the other white meat? That's a controversial meat to a lot of people. So step off, please. So there's that. So there was at the University of Colorado, there was apparently a complaint filed against him of some remarks he made in the classroom, mm-hmm. and to which he claims and the school claims he was never notified about, and it's complicated, but the alleged comments are cray and terrible, in which he's interrogating from his class, trying to tease out from them like about women using companies for maternity benefits,
yeah.
and then says something like in the complaint, it's like employers need to ask women about their pregnancy and family plans to protect their companies.
Yeah.
Oh, I pity the fool.
Yeah, that was crazy. And again, that was one of those stories the sourcing was not rock solid on. I mean, but still.
No, but the main, I mean, we got really focused on what the contents of the complaint. The headline is that there was a complaint that was not, like, at the time a dean was leaving, that kind of got lost in the mud,
right,
and it was never delivered to him, which I've been employed by a university when an administrative official left, and it's kind of a shit show.
Yeah.
And like paychecks don't show up and shit like that. And
yeah.
I hear that. But yeah, there's some murkiness to it. But also, like, it's just kind of another thing on a list of grievances.
Well, yeah,
about
I mean,
that's
the thing, is that he has plenty when it comes to, especially when it comes to issues of women's health and women in general and workers in general also.
Well, I mean, he knows the uterus best because he's a man.
Of course. Yes.
I don't know if you know that, Rex, but.
Yes. Of course I do.
We're not to be trusted with our lady parts.
No.
Fuckers.
But yeah, he has a lot of issues. And, you know, that's his case is an interesting. This is one of the few things where I am not quite capable of reaching a strong opinion on.
On him?
Well, no, I don't like. No, no, no. I mean, I can reach a strong opinion on him.
Let me help you right now.
Yeah, no, no, no. I don't. He is not my pick.
No.
But, no, the issue is him being confirmed, basically, after what happened with Merrick Garland and the idea that Democrats should just. And I don't know, it's tricky, but that they should just absolutely block and refuse. Some people are arguing that the Democrats shouldn't even have been at the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have just. And I can't. What happened with Merrick Garland was absolutely preposterous. It is.
Right.
And no matter what, I mean, if this guy gets, Sausage Face gets confirmed.
I was like, who? Oh, yeah, that's what we call him now.
Yeah. There's an asterisk. Forever. I mean, this is a stolen seat, and I agree with that completely. What I can't decide is whether I agree with the Republicans acted like childish, ridiculous knuckleheads in not bringing Garland, allowing Garland to go through a confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, the Democrats should do the exact same thing now, because you can't give an inch. And I don't know. I mean, part of me wants to say, I think that you got to be the adult in the room and not just, you know, the two wrongs.
But also the guy's a nightmare.
Yeah, no, he's a nightmare. But
I hear what you're saying.
He's a nightmare, but at the same time, you know, the Democrats lost. Okay, I mean, it's complicated. Garland should have been in there. It should have been
right.
Obama's pick. There's no question about
yes.
that. That didn't happen because a bunch of politicians did something abhorrent.
And completely blocked every move.
Right. Then the Republicans won the election,
right.
Whether you want to
like
blame
not,
the Russians or
what.
They won the damn election. So now it's their pick. So do the Democrats do the same abhorrent thing simply because the Republicans? Maybe the answer is yes. This is where I just
right.
cannot reach a conclusion on, because there's the part of me that wants to say yes, absolutely, screw them, this is ridiculous. There's the other part of me that wants to say, well, you got to just sort of say, okay, you know what, we're not going to, you guys did something ridiculous, that's going to be on you, we're not going to do the same thing because it's not the way our system is meant to work. And also, the if they do, if there is a way for them to completely block it somehow or another, the idea is that they would try to pressure a consensus pick. I'm like, that's never going to happen at this juncture. There will not
no
be,
way.
You know, then just,
yeah.
then you've got an 8-person Supreme Court for, until the next, you know, at least until the next election.
God.
So
yeah.
I don't know. That's a really complex thing. I mean, I don't want to see him on the Supreme Court, but
no.
I also don't know if I want to see lawmakers just acting like damn children forever.
Also, I'm going to send notorious RBG, like a weekly bushel of kale.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And yoga instructors, whatever she needs.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter. I mean, that's true if Trump could get impeached in 3 weeks, and it's still true because you're still, again, you know,
yeah,
control of at least until 2018.
Right,
they've
right.
Got, they're holding all the cards, and that's not going to stop. So.
Indeed. So it's about that time. Predictions for the week ahead?
Oh, my God. Like I said, I couldn't even remember Monday. So
I know.
The week ahead is...
Well, I think this week we should keep an eye on Manafort.
Yeah. The big thing with Manafort, too, is he seems like the kind of person who could flip. So...
Oh, for sure.
You know, if because the heat is starting to... has risen substantially on him now. And there are a lot of different angles from which he can be looked at criminally, I think. So... That's a big thing, yeah. I mean, the possibility that he could flip and then he could turn the whole thing upside down. And you have to figure they're a little afraid of that, which is why they tried. That was the thing Spicer mm-hmm. said this week, was that, oh, yeah, he was involved with the campaign for a short time. He was the...
like he was the janitor for a weekend.
He was viewed as, like, the savior
he
of
was
the
guy.
Campaign at
yeah.
that time until, you know, they wound up booting him and putting Bannon in. But Bannon and Kellyanne Conway. So, anyway, yeah, I think the Manafort stuff is big. I think that we are going to see from this Devin Nunes stuff that came out earlier today, I think the whole wiretapping thing is going to get all brought up again. I think we're going to go through another series of leaps in that until people finally start to actually get it. But I think another thing that is going to happen, I just saw Quinnipiac's poll numbers came out, mm-hmm. and his approval with them has dropped now down to 37. But more importantly, his disapproval has risen to 56 or so.
He's not going to like that.
Yeah, and that's the second approval rating that's down in the sort of like 36, 37 area. I think with the healthcare stuff, this is going to keep going down. And we didn't even get into that, actually. Thursday's the vote on the healthcare.
Yeah.
I mean, tomorrow. So that's a big deal. If that falls, he's screwed either way. If that goes
Absolutely.
Through... People are going to flip out because they know how bad it's going to be. If it doesn't go through, he's going to look awful because he's the great deal maker and
mm-hmm.
he didn't manage to
And he didn't
it.
Make a deal.
Yeah.
So. It's going to be bad either way.
Yeah.
And I hate to be not even a little bit optimistic, but that's going south either way. So I think Manafort, I think Nunes, and healthcare. I also, like, we've tucked away Kellyanne for a little while. So mm-hmm. I think we may hear from her for a minute. I mean, we've tried it out, Palin. We've tried it out, Ivanka. But I feel like Kellyanne's going to come back here soon because she's not fired. So
right.
she's not going to vanish for good. She's going to pop up at some point. I think there's going to be, I feel like there's going to be probably some kind of scandal around Ivanka's. I mean, it's already a scandal that she's getting security clearance and taking up an office in the White House. But I think something will emerge that's going to be really unfavorable. That's kind of just my feeling on that.
Would not surprise me at all.
In which case, she will be quieted for a minute, and Kellyanne will be brought in.
Mm, yeah, maybe. So. Yeah, it's.
I'm telling you, we're closer and closer. Just 1 week, we're just going to have a show entirely of screaming.
Yeah, it's going to be Guth and Hupke and Guth Seltzer on politics. We've added a third member to our team.
Third cast member is what we're doing. All right. Well, everybody, read your stories, do the things. And if you get super fed up with politics and you just need a minute, there is a very, very long read. I mean, a very long read, but it is fascinating. It's a really clickbaity headline, but Google PBJ and NBA. It is a very long read, but it is about how peanut butter and jelly, if you follow me on Twitter, I tweeted this earlier, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches took over as this secret pregame fuel in the NBA and how it all starts with one game. It is really, really interesting.
Wow.
It seems like what a bullshit thing to write about.
Yeah.
It's so fascinatingly done. It's like watching, because, you know, like it started with this one game that moved, and then this player moved to this team, and he brought that ritual, and he moved here, and now it's a thing.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's really, really interesting with cool art and food styling in the pictures, in the story.
Yeah.
Of like every variation of PBJs and how teams are traveling with them and the expectation of them. It seems like a weird thing, but it did my brain. It felt like my brain went to the car wash after having read it.
Nice. All right.
So I was like, all hail the peanut butter. All right, let's get back to politicking. I have no information that support those tweets. That is the phrase of the week. In addition to peanut butter and politicking. Right. All right. We'll see you next time. And, you know, read the things, do the things. Follow us on Twitter @RexHupke, @AmyGuth. And we'll see you soon. This has been Guth and Hupke on Politics.